to 65. When Jesse walked through the station house door, Molly gave him a look that told him nothing good had come of the stuff he'd asked her to do. "Give me a minute and then come into my office," he said as he passed her. As he sat behind his desk, Jesse wanted nothing more than to pour himself six fingers of Black Label. It had been a hell of a shift so far, and he was only halfway through it. He put his .38 away, then reached for his glove instead of the bottle in his desk drawer. As he pounded the ball into the perfectly formed leather pocket of his old Rawlings, he tried to clear his head. Sharon hadn't called his cell phone, so he couldn't be sure that it was Vic Prado who'd met with Harlan Salter and Monty Bernstein. What if it was? If it was, why? And could there be any connection between Vic, Martina Penworth's murder, and the Salter kid's abduction? Those questions had kept their grip on him for the entire ride back from Helton to Paradise. Driving hadn't helped him make any sense of it. He put the glove down just as Molly knocked and came in. "How did keeping your word go?" Molly said. "It worked out in the short run. What have you got?" She handed him a small slip of paper with a phone number on it. "That's the number in Taos she asked me to get. I'm not so sure you'll want to call it yet." "Why's that?" "Boston PD towed Kayla Prado's rental car late yesterday afternoon. It already had four tickets under the wiper for unpaid meters when they hooked it up and brought it to the impound lot." Jesse said, "Not good, but I could explain that away. Maybe she was running late for the airport, decided to take a cab instead of trying to get to Logan on her own. Maybe the car didn't start. Could be 100 reasons. Do you believe any of that, Jesse?" "No. She never made it to the airport. At least not to the flight she booked. She'd checked in online that morning, but never showed at the gate. She hasn't tried to rebook." "Damn. It gets worse, Jesse." "How could it get worse? Did they find her bod?" "Nothing like that. But it's still not good. After I alerted them about Kayla as a possible suicide candidate, Boston PD did some canvassing around the street her car was towed from." Molly hesitated, taking a deep breath. "It didn't take them long to find someone who'd spotted her. There's a witness who claims to have seen a woman fitting Kayla Prado's description involved in an incident on her block. She claims that the woman fitting Kayla's description fainted on the sidewalk and was helped into a car by a man."
"What man? What car?"
Molly handed Jesse several more sheets of paper. "It's all there. Boston PD faxed over the witness statement. You can read it later. The crib notes version is that the witness couldn't describe the man beyond saying he was on the small side. He might or might not have been wearing glasses. The witness thinks the man had on a dark blue suit that might have been black. She says there wasn't much memorable about him. Strange, because she described Kayla Prado perfectly and described the car as a white Honda or Nissan. She got a partial tag number, too."
"Between the description of the car and the partial, it should narrow things down."
"Yeah," Molly said, "to about 2,000 cars, give or take. I've got the list on my computer if you want me to send it over. Even if we eliminate the cars from the western half of the state, it would take us a week to individually check out all these cars."
"Did you check with the hospitals? Maybe she really did just faint," Jesse said.
"Checked with most of the hospitals between here and Boston. Nothing. I got a notice out to the rest of the hospitals in the state and the rest of New England."
"Maybe I should go talk to Vic. He needs to hear this, and there's a chance he might know something about what's going on."
Molly made a face that Jesse couldn't decipher.
"Put it into words, Crane.
While you were over in Helton on that mysterious mission to keep your word, we had an interesting incident happen at the hotel. Some big guy went into a restricted area and assaulted Connor Cavanaugh."
"Connor Cavanaugh," Jesse said.
"Played fullback with suit, then linebacker at UMass. He had a training camp with the Pats. Now he's head of security at the hotel."
"Go on."
"When Cavanaugh and the hotel manager confront the trespasser, the guy gave Cavanaugh a chop to the throat and put him down. Suit took the report."
Jesse was losing patience. "Okay, Molly, but what's this got to do with Kayla Prado or Vic?"
"I'm getting to that. This big guy was questioning the help about Vic and some woman he had with him in his room last night."
That got Jesse's full attention. He stood up and paced in front of the window. We have a description of the big guy and of this woman who stayed with Vic. Could it have been Kayla?
Yes, yes and no, she said.
Suit got a description of both the guy who attacked Kavanaugh and of the woman, but she wasn't Kayla. She had black hair, was attractive enough, but besides those two things, the description doesn't match Kayla Prado.
Okay, I think it's time I go have a talk with my old infield partner.
You can try.
Jesse said, what's that supposed to mean?
It means Suit thought he should warn Vic Prado after he took the report. According to Kavanaugh, this big guy was pretty menacing, so Suit thought he should give Vic a heads up.
Jesse smiled. He had always been on Suit to show initiative, to act on his instincts. After all these years, Jesse was glad his lessons were paying off. Then he realized that Suit might have simply wanted Vic's autograph. Either way, it was the smart move.
What happened when Suit spoke to Vic?
That's the point. Suit never got the chance. Vic wasn't in his room, and when Suit asked around, the doorman said he got a cab for Vic that afternoon.
Did the doorman hear where Vic was headed?
No, but it wasn't local, because the doorman heard the cabbie saying that a trip out that way wasn't on the meter, but a flat rate.
All right, he said, retrieving his .38 and reloading it. I'm going over to the hotel. Something's going on here.
Something like what?
If I knew, I wouldn't have to go over there.
Molly shook her head, smirking. I wish I was smart like you. Then maybe they'd make me chief.
Maybe.
Should I ask you why you need to reload your weapon?
Probably not.
Keeping your word took 5 bullets?
4, he said. 1 was just for show.
Didn't I tell you not to ask?
You suggested it. That's different.
From now on, when your chief makes a suggestion, take it as an order.
She stuck her tongue out at him.
Very nice.
But their banter fell flat. They had both been cops too long to think there was an innocent explanation for what had happened to Kayla Prado.
Jesse handed the slip of paper with Kayla's parents' phone number back to Molly.
Call them up. Pretend to be a friend from Scottsdale. I want to make sure she really didn't get there. Try not to scare them.
Molly said, they're probably already scared.
You may be right. Do your best.
Jesse walked past her. She chased after him and caught him before he made it to the front door.
Jesse,
he stopped.
What?
I almost forgot. A woman called. Said her name was Sharon.
Yeah.
She said you were right. She looked online, and that was the guy at Burt's. She also said to thank you again.
Jesse smiled for a brief moment, but not brief enough that Molly hadn't noticed.
Is this another one of those things you'd suggest I not ask about?
You're finally catching on, Crane. Maybe they will make you chief someday, he said.
He left without another word.